WFNC. Mont Bellevue, Houston. A Gao Media Station. ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson. Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back.
Hey, what up, H-Town? It's a Monday. And as Mondays normally go, Travis Johnson's with me. As my sidekick is in tow, and that's always a good thing because we're better as a team. And behind the glass, Nick Sciarra, as we all will recap our weekends for you, but recap the Texans' win in a game against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Close as I predicted. I said 21-17, ends up, what, 24-21?
24-21.
So I was close. The offense did not look as explosive and come out firing like you thought they would. But nonetheless, a win is a win because...
Like, who thought they would?
You said that. You said you thought their offense would get on track.
I said I hope that they get on track.
Oh boy,
we need to start. You know what? Hey, Nick. From now on,
I agree with you.
Let's start getting the Friday stuff that we say, and let's start make sure we keep clips of it. So when we come back in, because you know what?
Not just clips though. We got to keep track of the picks.
Yeah, exactly. But I think
you guys crap the bed every week, and then you don't take credit for
who
it.
Who craps the bed every week?
Oh my goodness! You need the freaking diaper. That's all I'm saying.
No,
that's
no,
how more.
No,
that's how many no, times you crap no. the bed.
I rebuke that.
Well, you can rebut it and rebuke it and do everything you want to it, but I'm just telling you right now that I'm right and you're wrong. There, I gave you a chance to answer and you didn't.
No,
so,
because
anyway,
I was putting.
I know what you were doing.
I was putting this rubber on the thing.
You were putting a mic screen on the mic.
I was putting this Jimmy hat on the mic.
Did anyone tell you that this is not XM radio?
Well, I mean, I don't say any curse words.
Well, still, what's implied is still dirty. Indeed, I'm right again.
You're right once in a while.
I'm not. Let's all be real.
I give you the once in a while.
So the Texans get a win, but I guess you didn't know. Brock Osweiler threw for a whopping 99 yards.
No, I actually did. I wanted to make it seem like I didn't know because it was stuff that you wish you forgot because when you watched the game,
You wish you misremembered?
Yeah, I wish I misremembered because I mean when you look at what this team did this weekend, the only bright spot I guess was the running back. That came in. They bought off practice squad this past week.
Dent.
Didn't he go to? I think it was UCLA. Didn't he?
Akeem Dent.
Went to UCLA. I think that's the biggest bright spot that you got out of this entire game. Of course, you know, early on you saw Kareem. You saw KJ.
Sorry, Akeem Hunt.
Akeem Hunt.
Is it Akeem Hunt or Akeem?
No, Akeem Dent. I think he hit on it. It's Dent.
Akeem Hunt.
Is it all right? Same difference.
Went to Purdue, not UCLA, but we're close.
We were close. Yeah. You know, Midwest, West Coast, same
difference. Sure, same difference.
But, you know, the thing is, you know, you saw K-Jack with the good pick early. But, I mean, Blake Bortles is trash. I mean, his mechanics are off. I mean, when you look at the way he throws the ball, it's like, you know, he has to rev it up first. It's almost like starting an old school lawnmower where you got to pull it.
The ripcord?
Yeah, the ripcord lawnmower. And, I mean... When you got cornerbacks as good as K-Jack and as good as J. Joe and played in the league as long as they have, they're not fooled by the type of the mechanics. I think that to them is a key of saying break on the ball now. And you saw that early, and those points helped us out because when you look at it, we probably would have lost the game without that touchdown.
Oh, without question. How's that pizza treating you, by the way?
It's pretty good. I mean, it's cold, but it's still good. It's deep dish.
But it's causing the brakes to be padded on the lozenges. I mean, on the larynx.
Yeah, it is. I mean, and I had some Fuddruckers before I came in here. At Matt Muse's golf tournament, Fuddruckers, I guess, was one of the sponsors.
Yeah.
and they were on like every hole.
Yeah, I missed Matt Musil's golf tournament because of this radio show, because I felt the need to prepare, which you basically passed on. But at least you represented both of us. Which
because I had to. Somebody had to go. You know what? And I felt bad because, you know, Matt has invited me the last few years, and I always miss it. I either forget or I'm out of town. And this year I didn't forget, and I wasn't out of town. I just got back in town from Dallas, actually. So I said, you know what? I'm going to go.
Cool. Well, I'm glad you represented for us. I'll have to apologize to Matty Ice because a 9 a.m. tee-off time when we've got a show to prepare for and on a 1 o'clock airtime is tough.
Hey,
My days of golfing during the week are kind of over.
When you multitask like I multitask, and when you're concussed like I'm concussed.
When you're multitasking Fuddruckers and Falbo Brothers, you are multitasking like a mother.
Hey, that 350 is in full effect.
Yes, it is. And for all of us, that means that we have a tough time sitting down at the same table with you or fitting through doorways.
Hey, it's all right. But you know what? I'm starting my diet up next week, though.
Well, this ought to be interesting. You'll be grumpier than normal then. It's like poking the bear, giving you a diet.
I'm trying to lose 50 pounds in the next about 3 months.
Wow.
It's totally doable.
Yeah, it's easy. I could do 20 in 3 weeks, but
see what the problem is, I'm trying to take 20 on in 1 week.
That's the big issue.
That's a stickler right there.
So I'm trying to do 50 in the next 3 months. I'm trying to hopefully get down. I'm trying to do at least 25 within the next 30 days.
So you're going
to
get down by just cutting out bad food, or are you going to actually work out and hit the gym?
No, I can't work out, man. I'm disabled. But you know, just cutting down on my diet. I mean, the things that I consume.
You inhale.
You know, yeah. I mean, the Falbo Brothers. As much as I love it, I would. You know, I got to put it down for a little bit.
I went and saw my boy Hani yesterday night. Got a little pizza for the Sunday night game, and I'm telling you what.
So this from yesterday?
Yeah, last night.
That's why it's still cold.
It's
in the refrigerator.
It is really good. Yeah, I refrigerated it for you because I knew you'd be into it.
Yeah, I would be. If I wish you'd have told me so that I could at least put a little heat on it, a little bit.
I gave Nick a crack at it too, but he passed because he said he's full.
Nick is not full.
No.
Well, he brings it in the day. I brought my own. I never bring my own lunch.
Let me tell you something. Falbo Brothers, by the way, if you live in the Sugar Land area, and they're going to probably run some specials with us on Fridays for the Saturday, Sunday games from now on, but man, I'm telling you what, it's takeout only, but if you need grub for your football party, it is on the spot. Deep dish, stuffed, thin crust, and it is some of the best pizza in town.
Oh, if it didn't have onions on it, I'd take it home for my son.
I love onions.
I love onions, too. I eat onions like apples.
Would bite right through an onion?
Yeah, right through an onion.
Do you cry?
No.
Oh, boy.
I eat like an apple. But, you know, the thing is my son hates onions.
Why?
He just does. He hates anything that's not basic stuff on any. Like when he gets his burger, no pickles, no onions, and if we go to anywhere, he smells pickles.
Where do you learn
like
that
a
from?
Bloodhound? I don't know.
I think
probably his mom.
Midwest. I put onions on everything.
But I mean,
but pickles on the side. I don't want them on my burger.
But see, I like them on the side and on my burger. You know, my wife is a picky eater at times. You know what I mean? So I think he gets it from her. My youngest daughter kind of has my palate when it comes to food. I mean, she eats everything.
That could be trouble for a female.
She
burns it off.
Yeah, she burns it off. Like she's built like she's a super athlete. You know what I mean? She burns everything off.
So you guys have that in common, which is nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's always a good thing.
Nick.
Yo.
Did you have a good weekend?
Had a great weekend, man.
Did you?
Watched the fight, watched a little bit of the Rockets game, just kind of chilled.
They are who we thought they were?
Kind of.
Yeah. We'll talk about that and a whole lot more as we face the inevitable. James Harden's going to have a lot of court time. Some of it's not going to be with the basketball. At least that's what we're being told. So there's a story out there that we need to discuss in that regard. We can discuss round two of the Rockets and Spurs. We can talk in detail about the Texans and their win over the Jacksonville Jaguars and their next three games coming up as they continue to try and maintain first place in a very weak division. I don't really feel like talking about the NFC North and the green and gold, but if we have to, we can. I know people were tweeting about it yesterday, and I'll take my medicine. But at the same time, I got a better quarterback than you do. We'll talk about a lot more. So if you want to be a part of the show, 713-780-ESPN. That's 780-3776 to reach us and be a part of the show with either a text message or a phone call. And by the way, if you want to be in on the Twitter crowd, you can also reach us by hitting at TrapJ99, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, and at No Hit Nick. We're here till 4 o'clock, ESPN 97.5.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
So, this is a little better than the Chicks songs that Nick normally gets into. But Nick tweets before the show, in case you missed it. Nick tweets that while he was getting his chestnut praline latte at Starbucks.
What's a praline latte?
Chestnut praline.
Chestnut praline latte at Starbucks.
You know what a praline is, right?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. But... well, it's edible. I figured you would. But chestnut praline. Chestnut praline latte. He said it's good because it's a holiday drink. Nick likes all those foo-foo coffees.
Just like he likes foo-foo music.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. And then he tweeted he was listening to Katy Perry before he went and got his chestnut praline latte.
You would love that latte, by the way, Trey.
No.
You would totally drink that latte.
I like my coffee like I like my women. Black, dark.
It's black, it's dark.
But a little, no, it's not.
But a little sweet at the end.
A little sweet at the end, yes,
because you get
course.
That little bit at the bottom, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, of course, but I don't do all them foo-foo coffees, man.
I don't either, man. Besides like that, you're drinking a Big Mac. When you look at the caloric and all that stuff, the caloric content, you're drinking a Big Mac. That's a lot of stuff. I'm sure you were festive because the cups are back too.
They brought the red cup.
Yeah. Did that make you even feel happier?
Absolutely. Yeah, because I actually asked that same Starbucks like 2 or 3 days ago and they said 2 weeks, and now it's been like three
did
days.
They write Saint Nick on the cup just they to make should. You feel even more festive? Saint Nick.
Saint Nick. That should be your Twitter name. Saint Nick.
No.
What was the one we had last week that was better? Oh, One Hit Nick.
One Hit Nick.
Because he got blindsided.
Knockout Nick.
I thought No Hit Nick would be more appropriate because I got blindsided.
No Hit Nick.
Because Raheel thought about that.
You actually got hit. You know what I mean? So it would be different if you didn't get hit.
Raheel came up with that name. It sucks. So the Texans get a win, right? But now the heat has been turned up even higher on Brock Osweiler because he only throws for 99 yards. And my question right off the bat to you, Travis Johnson, is, okay, I get it. He only threw for 99 yards. He threw for 14 of 27, so a little better than 50%, right? But at the same time, the running game was on point. So they get the pick six, as you mentioned, from Jackson early.
Yeah, they did.
And then they basically went to a typical Bill O'Brien move and kind of got conservative and kind of were just game manager and running the football. But the running of the football was effective, and Lamar Miller looked good, and as we mentioned, Hunt looked good. So with all that being said, is it really that big of a deal that he only threw for 99 yards?
Yes.
Okay.
Like, there's no NFL quarterback that should be thrown for 99 yards.
I would tend to agree with you, but the fact of the matter is, after stomaching the Packer game and how awful that was, at the end of the day, wins, don't underestimate how important those W's are.
W's are always important, but at the same time, you don't want a W when and your quarterback plays, I don't want to say play bad, but just didn't look good.
Well, if you only threw for 99 and you said a NFL quarterback's got to throw for more than that, then you can basically say it.
Like, I mean, you don't – that because now you still – like, you hate to go in the wins and always, like, it's blatant what didn't happen. You know, at the end of the day, you played the bottom of the league and almost lost.
Yeah. And we warned people of this. We warned people, as bad as they are, they're going to be in the game. They're at home. You know, their defense isn't that bad. He just gave – look, it was a battle of attrition with the two quarterbacks, and Bortles just made one bigger mistake than Osweiler did because he threw the pick six.
And he did it early. You know, and to be honest, if Bortles' mechanics wasn't so screwed up with how he was hitching the ball back before he throws it, he would have hit those receivers deep a few times.
They were open.
They were wide open.
And he should prove to himself. I mean, I know that he brought in his footwork guy.
No, he wasted money, time, and a plane ticket to bring that guy in.
Well, I'm sure he didn't pay for it. But at the same time, you look at everything he did bad, and then the ball he throws that could not have been thrown any better to get them within a field goal was just a dart. And so you know he's got it in him. But at some point, I don't know if that's mental or what it is, but you know, even Yeldon had a decent game.
Yeah,
Ivory didn't help him as much as he'd been helping him in the past.
Yeah,
but look, I mean, I guess I would rather have the Texans' problems to some degree than a team like Green Bay or Minnesota. Minnesota's now lost four in a row. The NFC North is now battling the AFC South in terms of what's the worst division in football. The Lions didn't play, so they backed into the first place spot in the North. But at the same time, your Texans are in first place. They played well enough to win. But I dare I say these next three games are going to define what kind of season the Texans are going to have. And if they're even going to make the playoffs or not. Because the Raiders in Mexico City, followed by the Chargers here at home, one of your five Wii's, and then at Green Bay, who is trying desperately to right the ship, and they're going to come out desperate. So I don't see the Texans winning any of those three games.
You know what? I see them beating Green Bay.
That's okay. You can chuckle when you say that.
I'm just taking a shot at you. It's up in the air. You know, the thing is, here's the crazy part, is that if they don't win any of these three, Tennessee right now is in the driver's seat to win the division. If they continue to get better week in and week out, they still possibly could backdoor into winning the division. I mean, the way they looked against Green Bay, the way they moved the ball, was, it looked great. I mean, Mariota, the way he came out the pocket, the way he delivered the ball, the way he can threaten you with his feet. I don't think anybody in the league wants to see the Tennessee Titans hit their stride come playoff time.
Well, here's what they did. They made sure to take away as many opportunities for turnovers for Mariota as possible. And then they worked with him consistently on, if you have any doubt at all, throw it away. Don't try and be the hero. And he did that. Four touchdowns, managed the game without a turnover, made sure that he did all the right things. When he does that and they run the ball as effectively as they run with DeMarco Murray, they can be very effective, because we talk about the title game manager. You can be a game manager and be pretty damn effective when you have the tools that they have in Tennessee.
Yes,
they reconstructed the offensive line. And I will say this. I promised some guys online. Look, I didn't want, yes, last night, who were giving me a hard time about the Packers, loyal listeners, El Jefe and others. And I said, look, I'm really not going to get into all this because it's embarrassing to me what's going on in Green Bay. But I'm going to tell you this. The general manager situation is almost worse than what you're dealing with on Kirby, quite simply because I give Tennessee credit for what they did yesterday, but I'll say this. I've been saying this for a month, and Travis, we like to say that we always say these kind of things ahead of everybody else on this show. But one of the things I said, which kept you out of the norm of just Houston Texan team talk and Houston fandemonium, when I broke down the Packers, was you got a general manager in Ted Thompson in Green Bay who firmly believes he's such a great talent evaluator and drafter that he is never going to go out and dabble in free agency or during the season go out and get a guy that they need when they need him so that they can fill in and fill some voids while Clay Matthews is out, your top three corners are out, all the guys that you have out are out, you can fill in the void. Well, they didn't do that. They didn't do it with running back and on the offensive side of the ball, but they didn't do it with three cornerbacks. They didn't do it with Clay Matthews out. And what they did was they left a wide open secondary to Marcus Mariota, and any professional quarterback in the NFL that gets that kind of space and that kind of distance between his receiver and any defensive back, and he gets young guys that are biting on the first move of a double move, they're going to be effective. Mariota looked like an all-pro yesterday, and I'm not going to give him that against everybody else that they play the rest of the way because of how bad the Packers secondary was. But I will say this, to your point earlier, you put Kareem Jackson out there, you put Jonathan Joseph out there, you put Bouye out there, you put guys that can guard the ball, that don't bite on the first move, that can get within a couple of feet of a receiver, and it's going to be a harder game for Mariota, and he's going to have to try and make that hero throw every now and then or thread the needle, and that's where he can get in trouble. But from a ball control standpoint, Tennessee has to be reckoned with, because with the Chargers, and another one of your Wii's, with the Chargers losing a game that they should have won yesterday, Tennessee can backdoor in a lot of ways if they get on a hot streak.
No question. No question. I think, and once again, the team with those running backs and the offensive line, quiet as it's kept, that Tennessee offensive line has been playing very well.
Yes.
I mean, you take away Taylor Lewan getting, you
who
know,
got
ejected,
tossed in the first quarter,
and I thought it was a bad toss, to be honest with you.
I
mean, everybody, you know, you listen to Mike and Mike this morning on this station earlier, and the first thing they talked about was he shoved the referee. Well, listen, his eyes are on LaTroy Guillen, which is a Florida State guy, you know what I mean? So his eyes are on LaTroy Guillen, and all he knows is somebody is touching me while my eyes are purely fixed on
to make sure he doesn't
guy.
Get sucker punched.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And not just sucker punch, just because I'm letting you know who I'm angry with.
Yeah.
And you as a referee who's 5 foot nothing, come over there and touch this 6 foot seven dude in his chest. He don't know who's so he swipes his arm away off his chest, and all of a sudden he shoved the referee.
Yeah.
And that to me it's a great point. And I'm tired of these refs,
man,
touching these guys in the heat of battle, and then throw it again. Like, dude, I'm not. Stop touching me.
And it's not just that. That entire crew that did that game yesterday, and there were two females on the crew, and I don't care if they're male, female, or different.
They've thrown six guys out of the 11 guys thrown out this year. They've thrown six of them out.
Yep. And here's the other thing. Some of the other calls, like Mariota slid and Ha-Ha Clinton Dix went over the top of him, but his thigh, while avoiding contact, made contact with the top of his helmet, and they called a 15-yarder. I mean, even in the game last night, we'll talk about that too. The PI late, but there were so many touchy calls. The Steeler-Cowboy game and the two calls that they made during critical points in the game and allowed their calls to be a part of what decided that game. The NFL has not had a good year with officiating overall, and it's getting worse.
This is almost, and I hate to say this, you look back now and say, if you put up these calls against the replacement ref year or their four games or the quarter of a season that they had, you have to question how big, who did worse. You question, did the replacements do this? They're basically doing the same thing. They're missing calls and they're inventing calls on stuff that didn't happen. I mean, yesterday when you saw Tom Brady, you saw I can't remember who it was that hit Tom Brady, but he hit him.
Hit him low.
But he didn't hit him low.
Cam Chancellor.
He didn't hit him low. He hit him in his thigh. He hit him right there at the top of the kneecap. Then at the knee area or top of the thigh or bottom of the thigh, and all of a sudden it becomes he hit him low.
So if you're a thigh guy as opposed to a calf guy, in heels or not, we can talk about that and a whole lot more because we got plenty of shows still to go. ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Nothing like a little Nelly Furtado to tighten you right up.
Nelly Furtado?
Yep.
Oh, is it? Okay.
With Timbaland and Justin.
And JT.
Timberland.
Okay. Yeah.
Don't let me, on me.
You know
over
what?
Here.
Let's get some old. You know, I'm glad you said Timberland.
Here we go.
Am I wrong for asking this?
You do. No, it's not that you're wrong for asking this, but you're like half the time you spend like DJing with Nick.
Well, not half the time, just a quarter of the time. I mean,
numbers have never been your thing.
Listen, the fans love the music. Last time when we talked about Twitter, we talked about Instagram. What did everybody say? Man, y'all are really jamming today. Outside of just great radio that we always give our listeners.
I even gave you the forum with the whole karaoke thing Friday, which was another huge success.
I don't want to do the karaoke.
You do it anyway.
Yeah, but I just want to listen to some great music on our intro and outro.
And then there's that. Okay, Tim is still jamming right now.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah. Here we go. So Travis is still trying to get his last-minute requests in before we go to the top five at two, where we give you the top five most requested songs by Travis Johnson over the past week. Movember, by the way, your stash is still growing in.
Yeah.
Nick, have we posted that?
I believe we have, yeah. There's a link and everything.
Yeah, we got to post the link because the whole reason why we're doing it is to raise money for charity. And right now, our show is.
We'll tweet it again.
Yeah, we need to tweet it again today because we need to raise some money for a great cause. And the fact that our show is bringing up the ass bottom is not a good thing. So,
well, that's because I'm the only one with a mustache over here. And two, I hate not having any regular facial hair outside of just.
Well, looky here. You're doing the right thing, though, because you're growing it all back this month. You don't have to shave, and it'll all come back. I don't know where this country thing came in all of a sudden with you. You didn't go back to Tally, which is short for Tallahassee.
Did I sound country when
I said
that?
A little bit, yeah.
Well, I apologize if I sounded country.
No, ain't nothing wrong with that. You don't apologize. You're down the South.
But I'm just saying, I didn't.
Fits like a glove in the middle of a winter storm. Unless you're Cato Kalen.
Unless you care, or OJ.
Because if the glove don't fit, you must have quit.
Exactly.
So Movember's out there, so we must give our support to that. Please donate generously to a good cause. And so hopefully that we can get some fast-growing cream so that Travis can grow the ZZ Top chin music back along with the caterpillar that he's got under his nasal passages. That's always helpful. So we got to that. We can touch more on the Texans because of the fact that, look, a win is a win. They're still in first place by two games. They're in a good spot. They're going to be in the playoffs. I really believe it's a make or bake break three-game stretch coming up for them.
Make or bake?
Yeah, they can bake if they want. But, I mean, Brock might bake some brownies and get some more brownie points than he would by playing quarterback these days because it's awful to watch. He's still staring down receivers. For whatever – look, here's the thing. You can bust on Bortles all you want for bringing in his quarterback coach from his high school, or his mechanics coach and all this other stuff, but at least he's making an effort. I don't know what Brock did during the time off, but it's the same Brock that was Brock before the time off, before the bye week.
But he was the same Blake Bortles that was the time before that.
Would you take Blake Bortles right now to quarterback the Texans?
No.
I wouldn't.
You wouldn't? Neither one of you would?
I wouldn't. Hell,
I think I would.
Oh, no.
I think I would. I think
you might
here's
be sniffing
the other thing. That, here's the other thing. People are failing to realize, because everybody's like, we just need to get rid of him. They're not getting rid of him, and he's not going anywhere for another year, because aside from being on the books this year guaranteed, he's guaranteed 17 next year to be here on Kirby. He's going nowhere. And everybody said, well, they should bench him. You know what? Maybe during a game, in the middle of a game, because it sends a message. I don't know. Maybe it works. Maybe it doesn't. But the fact of the matter is that I don't care how much money you're spending to fly your receivers places and to do other things. What I really care about is, are you working on you more than the allotted time you're given at the training facility with the coaches and the players? Are you working on your mechanics? And if you got to bring someone in, bring them in. Are you asking your receivers to stay and work on the option routes and work on timing issues? Are you working in the video room? And are you saying, yeah, I'm really staring down guys. My 50-50 balls are more like 30-70. I'm not doing the things that everybody... Look, analysts within the studio on national broadcasts are picking him apart. If they can see it, he should be able to see it too. It's frustrating to me because money is not an issue if you need to fly someone in, but I think it's a lot simpler than that. Just go and ask for the help that you need and start working with the guys that you're going to be in communication with on the field and try something new to make a difference. Try something. It's the same show we got before the break minus the picks.
Man, listen.
I am listening.
I hope you are.
Okay, carry on.
At the end of the day, regardless of what he gave us, the same that he gave us, you could say the same thing for Blake Bortles on the other end. Exactly what you said about Brock Osweiler, you could say the exact same thing about Blake Bortles. And there's no way I'm trading Blake Bortles. Yes, he's a tad bit younger than Osweiler. I'm not trading him for
younger, Blake. More athletic.
No,
same kind of arm strength.
But no.
And here's the thing.
And guess what he's going to do? He's going to lose us more games than anything else. I'll take Brock Osweiler 366 days of the year
over Blake Bortles.
No question.
Everybody else agree with that? Let me know what you think. 713-780-ESPN. Because I'm not of that mindset. I think that Bortles is a guy that at least is showing me he's working to try and get better. And in the process of trying to do so, he's more athletic, he's more agile, he's more active in the pocket. And if it's just some mechanical things, I don't see him staring down guys the way I see Osweiler.
Yeah, but even if he ain't staring down guys, he still can't get him the ball. Right now, you throw a better ball than Blake Bortles.
I got a strong arm. Don't ever kid yourself.
But you still throw a better ball than Blake Bortles. That should never happen with an NFL quarterback.
Here's the thing. It's a catch 22 because regardless of which guy you take, the fact of the matter is Bortles would make the deal in a heartbeat because he'd love to be in first place. The Texans are in first place and people are ready to like start a rebellion and start doing what Trump's anti-Trump people have been doing all weekend. But at the same time, you're probably going to win your division and you're going to be in the playoffs. The problem being is that after you get into the playoffs and win the division, you're probably going to get out as quickly as you got in unless you can right the ship on your offensive side of the football because the receivers aren't getting the ball. Hopkins still isn't getting used the way he should be getting used. Lamar Miller is about the only guy that's getting any run and doing anything with it. He's obviously your offensive MVP. The tight ends are starting to get the ball a little bit more. The receiving core is a freaking mess, and it's really hard to watch even though they're a first-place winning team.
It's very hard to watch. I mean, regardless of what place they're in, you still want to see good football. And the things that we watch every week is not good football. It's not sound. It's not good. I mean, you got certain guys that give you good things to watch, like DJ Reader, and you watch and you watch Jadeveon Clowney continue to blossom before our
Simon
eyes.
Simon again with a sack, active as all get out.
Simon making plays. You watch those things and you say, you know what? Those are things you can build on. You see Romeo Crennel's defense really starting to mature and you see that maturation process, and you don't see that with the offense. No. You don't ever.
That's my biggest problem.
Yeah, no question.
And that really bothers me. So let me know what you think. 713-780-ESPN. Travis is here to answer anything from an in-depth player perspective. I'm just going to break it down from you from what I see. It's hard to watch football, and I feel bad for the Texans fans. I feel for them in a deep, deep way because for 15 years now, it seems like, or 14 to 15, how long they've been in existence, they've had to deal with the same problem over and over again, with the exception of about a four-year window with Matt Schaub, and then that quickly went sour and everybody bailed on him too. It's a broken record, but it's at what point does it stop skipping and do you fix it? I don't know. They thought they had the fix. They obviously don't, and now I don't know how you get out of it. You have to probably sit through another year of this before you get out of it because he's making so much money. But I want to know what you think. 713-780-ESPN or hit us up on Twitter. We're here till 4, ESPN 97.5.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Texans win, but people aren't happy. We've got that to talk about, but at least they're in first place. We've got a whole lot more to talk about the Houston Rockets. They are who we thought they were. They did a whole bunch to screw up all the good positive vibes that they got by winning in San Antonio the other night, by losing at home as the Kawhi Leonard lockdown went on James Harden. And even Eric Gordon, red hot in the second half and seven threes later, could not save their bacon as they lost the second game of the two straight against the Spurs. So they split the first two of the four for the season. So we can talk about that. But everybody wants to kind of chime in on this. Do you want Brock Osweiler? Would you take Blake Bortles? I hate to break it to you, but there's no easy out in this mess because you got him for this year and one more. And because you got to pay him, I'm pretty sure he's going to be around. I feel really bad for Texans fans because of the fact that you guys have been through so much with so many quarterbacks and been close a couple times with the rest of the roster, as the man to my left can attest to, and it just didn't work out. Now you think you got your problem solved. You go out and get your franchise quarterback that everybody swears is the guy, and he doesn't look like he is the guy or anywhere near close. So let's start with a guy who's got a name that's the hottest name in the NFL if you're in the MVP watch, Ezekiel from League City. You want to talk about this? Welcome to the show, Zeke. What's up?
Yes, what's going on, sports?
This is the prevent. If you want that, that's the blitz. That's on the next show.
Oh, okay.
Gotcha.
Sorry about that. Yes, I want to call in and say about, I would 1,000,000% take, instead of Osweiler, I would take Blake Bortles 100%. I mean, I heard that he was talking about he would take Osweiler, but man, have you not been watching him play?
Have you not been watching Blake Bortles play?
Osweiler. Yeah, he has been horrible. I mean,
What do you think Brock Osweiler? I mean, what do you think Blake Bortles been?
Yes, but you know what?
But.
Go ahead.
No, I'm still lost for words. The thing is, here's what Texas fans get confused. Yeah, and we appreciate you, Zeke, for calling in. But here's where y'all get confused is that y'all watch Brock Osweiler and say, oh, we could have. This is what I'd rather take this person over him. I'm not taking Blake Bortles to do nothing over Brock Osweiler. I'm not taking him to play caroms. I'm not taking him to play pool. I'm not taking him to play badminton over. And especially not football, over Brock Osweiler. Like, the kid is terrible. Blake Bortles is absolutely atrocious. The things he put on tape This year.
This year. Last year, he showed signs. And there was a – look, there's a bigger sample size. My biggest problem, too, is, again, going back where you don't want to go, but I like to go, which is Rick Smith needs to be put on the spot, too, and say, you only saw six games from this guy, and you decided he was your franchise guy. This guy looks like he needs more work and more time in the lab with more people than Bortles did. Bortles was making progress up until this year, and he really hasn't had anybody – I mean, a ton around him now. They're starting to build. They got two young receivers. The offensive line is decent. They spent all their money and did all their focusing on the defensive end early. But at the same time, I think you put Bortles into this system, he can run it just as good.
And he looks just as garbage. I mean, end of the day, let's not be fooled. Let's not be fooled. If Blake Bortles would have been our quarterback right now, they'd be screaming to the top of the building over there in Midtown with the lighthouse building for Rick Smith's job. He's terrible.
I'm at loss for what building you're talking about. You talking about the old Transco Tower here in Galleria?
Wherever it is with the little lighthouse. I don't know where it's at. It looks like Midtown. If it's in the Galleria, it's in the Galleria. But regardless, Blake Bortles, I'm not taking him to do anything.
The attic that you and Nick have together confuses the hell out of me because you can't think straight. I don't know where you're going with this stuff. We're trying to do a show here.
I know. We're trying to do a show, but at the end of the day.
I get your point. Okay, you're not taking him.
No,
but I think a lot of the fans are going to go with me. I would rather kick the tires on Bortles and put him in than have to deal with what I'm watching from Osweiler.
And if we had Blake Bortles exactly what everybody on the staff and all the people upstairs would be doing at the end of the season, kicking tires because they'd be out of jobs.
We'll see. Andrew, you're next. You want to talk about Blake versus Blake? What do you got?
Absolutely. So I think the idea that we take Blake Bortles is a horrible idea. We've had quarterbacks that throw the ball. Brian Hoyer threw the ball a ton last year. We had guys like Matt Schaub throw the ball a ton, and it still didn't do the trick for us because turnovers were key. I don't care if Osweiler throws 99 yards every week, as long as he doesn't turn the ball over, that's a good thing. And obviously he's had problems turning the ball over in the past, but it seems like he is improving. He's got to learn the new system, and like the point was made before, we owe him $17 million next year. The idea that we're going to sit him or bench him is just crazy. And on top of that, as a longtime Texans fan, I would hate to get rid of Osweiler, him go somewhere else, and guess what he does? Then he goes and thrives. I'm going to let y'all hang up and let you guys respond on that one.
I mean, as a fan, though, man, you got to be ticked off. I mean, you deal with this over and over, and after all you went through last year, you're dealing with it again when you were convinced we got it solved finally. We went out and spent money. We got who we wanted to get, and look, it's fixed. It's not fixed.
Real people who watch football never thought it was fixed when they bought him in. Everybody said, yeah, that's a good pickup. I wouldn't have gave him $72 million. That's what everybody should have said. It's a great pickup. I just wouldn't have gave him so much money.
Are you saying I'm not a real
footballer? No, I'm not speaking on you. I'm speaking on just the real fan. I mean, fans in general, just at the end of the day.
Yeah, but this fan base, and all they've been through, they were convinced this was their guy.
You weren't convinced.
I was not.
I wasn't convinced. So real people who watched the game was never convinced. Yeah, the fan base might have been. They were like, oh, they spent all this money on him. Yeah, but come on, man. Like, his tape spoke for itself. Like, nobody should have ever been.
So you understand then when I say why then, to your point, why I then say Rick Smith should be on the hot seat? Because not only did he think this was their guy, but he and the owner put the money on the table to that level.
I don't know if he thought this was their guy. I think at the end of the day, it's what was available. Because if we don't get Brock Osweiler, who else do we bring in?
But according to your guys, and we've talked about this with the ESPN Denver guy, the Broncos weren't willing to go as high as the Texans, and they came in late with less. So they knew something that a lot of people evidently did that the Texans didn't. I got a problem with that.
Here's the thing. Who else, if you could tell me who else we could have gotten. Nobody knew Dak Prescott would have been what he's doing, and if he would have got him
that
here,
I agree.
And if we had got him here, there's no.
Do you want me to
no...
answer that again? Because how many times have I answered this for you? You even were on the same page with me on this.
Yeah, I am.
Paxton Lynch was there. Paxton Lynch was there at your pick. You didn't have to do a damn thing. He fell into your lap,
and he's still not starting over there either.
He. But the game he came in, he looked like he had. He's got talent.
We'd have also been in the same situation. The game. The games that Brock Osweiler came in, when he was in Denver, he looked like he had talent.
I think anybody that wasn't convinced on Osweiler to begin with, though, they also knew that they had to make a splash, and that's why. I don't think Blake Bortles or Paxton Lynch, those two quarterbacks would have made a difference.
It depends on who you had keeping the seat warm until Paxton Lynch was ready. That would have been a key, too.
And who was going to be that guy?
Well, that's a question that you have to ask. You got to ask because
regardless, even we take Paxton Lynch in the first round, end of the day, we still would have had to pay to get somebody else to start for a while.
Not $17 million a year for 2 years.
Yeah, we still had to pay at least $10 million.
Okay, but for 1 year, you buy some time. Here's the thing. You can keep getting away with this crap while the division sucks, but it's going to get worse, and it's going to get tougher.
The division not getting any better anytime right now.
I disagree. We're going to take a break, and we're going to come back with more. El Jefe, Josh, I see you guys waiting. We're going to get to you as soon as we can. Just let us get through this that we got to get through, and we'll get right back to you. ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.